Before we do our opening prayer, I did want to open up with a very, very quick song here. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Please bow with me. Dear Lord, we are thankful. Today we gather together in fellowship to worship you, and we pray that we fix our eyes on the cross, that we are thankful as we get ready to partake in the Thanksgiving holiday. We remember the sacrifice that you've given us. We remember that Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, broke bread and gave thanks. Lord, we pray that as we worship, as we sing, as we gather together at home or in this building, Lord, we pray that we focus on you, that we worship you, that we sing, that we learn, that we meditate with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, if you can stand and sing with me. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Into the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From the heavens' mercy stream of the Savior's love for me. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. I will rise from waters deep into the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation song. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again.
You may be seated. Oh, just kidding. Yeah, you can be seated. When you forget how many songs you put in. Well, as we sing this, as we get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday, those who are watching have just experienced the amazing Thanksgiving holiday with family and friends and loved ones. I want us to really focus in on this amazing and beautiful song, because it is well with our souls. In Jesus Christ, it is well.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Well, we began the communion service, so make sure you have one of these cups. And I want to make an announcement. Linda Bailey, which many of you may know, is in rehab. She got home last night, or yesterday. She called me last night, let me know, want me to share it with you all. She still has to go through rehab at home, but there'll be something coming in with her to help her rehab. If someone came to you and said you could be whatever you want to be, what would your selection be? I would say for most of us, it wouldn't be a servant. I like to share from Philippians 2nd chapter, beginning at verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself to become obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. We are come today to give thanks and to remember that sacrifice. Christ could have been most powerful, God himself, but he chose to do his Father's will, to become a servant, to die. And thanks be to God for that sacrifice, for through it, we all have the promise of salvation. When Christ introduced this communion, this Last Supper, he told the disciples that to take this bread, which represented his body, which was broken for the sins of man. And he said to the cup, drink this, this is my blood. So today as we participate and we take the loaf, what we are associated that loaf with is the body of Christ that was broken for our sins. It should be a time of thanksgiving, but a time of humility too. For each of us should seek to be a servant of the Lord and to those around us. Will you bow with me while we give thanks? Our Father, we thank you so much for the sacrifice of Christ. Our words seem insufficient, Father, to share the significance of that and for us to grasp the full meaning. But we ask your blessing upon each one that's gathered here and those that are away from us. Help us as we remember that sacrifice, we partake of this loaf, which to the Christian is emblematic of the broken body of Christ that was broken for our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And I'll give you a moment to open the fruit of the vine. If you'll bow with me, offer thanks. Again, Father, we approach your throne and ask your blessing upon this cup. Help us each to take it in a manner that's worthy of the sacrifice that was made for us. Help us to reflect upon the true significance of the blood that was shed for our sins, that blood that continues to cleanse us as we daily walk in the light. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for all things, Father, that come through his love, through his mercy, and through his grace. Be with us as we partake. Strengthen us in our spirit and our love for one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I just want to say a couple of things about your contribution. Christ gave everything, his all, for us in his sacrifice. Most of us, when we give out of our abundance. We make an offering, we give out of our abundance. When we give to charity, most of us give out of our abundance. God has blessed us in so many ways. I know here we have a couple of things planned for this coming month, for December. There's collection, the process for Potter's Children's Hall. There's also a collection request for those that like to support children through Mountain Mission, and they're asking to donate gifts for children. I haven't really made any suggestions. We still have the thing with regard to the children of our women in Children's Hospital where we give the little stuffed animals. I know when Stephen left, it seemed like that dropped off, but it didn't stop babies from being born. And I don't know how you feel about it. You know, I get one of those stuffed animals that are fluffy. I feel like if one child found comfort in one of those stuffed animals, it's worth it. I recall my eldest son, he had a blanket that he carried with him till all there was a boundary on. But he carried those strips along as kind of a security blanket for him. We all need a sense of security, and certainly our children do. If they can find a stuffed animal, that will help them feel secure in holding on to it. we are all blessed. Let's give thanks. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love, for your compassion for us, for the whole of mankind. We pray, Father, that you'd help us to open our hearts, to have the hearts of a servant, to have hearts that are loving toward one another and toward others. Forgive us our trespasses, Father. Too often we sin, as we sin when we know there are things we should do that we fail to do. Help us always. Use your Spirit to be instilled within us, to honor you in all that we do and say. These things we pray in the name of Christ, and your will be done. And amen. Thank you.
All right, children, now's the time as we stand and sing that all the children can go to their during service class. As we sing this, I definitely want us to dig deep. I mean, we have experienced so many hardships over the past 2 years, so many difficulties, so many losses, but we've also experienced, and Thanksgiving is really a time where we focus on how great our Lord is and all the blessings that he's given us throughout all of these things. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on that cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation
and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
You may be seated.
Love that song. And I also appreciated Joe's comments this morning. And, you know, a lot of times it's interesting to see what happens as services, kind of you go through the process of a worship service. And unbeknownst to me, I don't know what Joe's going to talk about when he gets up here for communion comments, but it very much tied in the idea of humility and its role in Thanksgiving. There's definitely a role of humility in Thanksgiving, and that's one of the things I want to focus on today. I usually, whenever I speak, either at church or at work, or anytime I have to get up in front of a group of people, I try to kick it off with some funny story. Sometimes people get it and laugh. Sometimes people probably don't think it's funny. Today, I don't have a funny story for you. I'm not even going to try. In fact, it's probably a fairly sad story to start with, but I think it drives home a point. This is a story about a selfish young man in the mid, probably 1990s. That young man was me, probably about, I don't know, 28 years ago. My parents had a house in Kaiser and were in the process of selling their home and moving back to Morgantown. So they had a house in Kaiser, a house in Morgantown. At the time, I was getting ready to begin. I had been going to school somewhere else. I was going to transfer to WVU, and so I had moved to Morgantown. And so one Saturday evening, this is pre-cell phone, so, you know, I did have a little bit of a built-in excuse for not letting my parents know. But one Saturday evening, fairly late, we decided, me and a couple of my buddies, that we were going to go to Kaiser, which is about an hour and a half away, to see some friends at a party that we hadn't seen for a while. So we make the hour and a half trek over, and we're up extremely late, and made it back to my house and went to bed. And I woke up Sunday morning, well, probably Sunday afternoon, and to the phone ringing. And I answer the phone, and it was my mom. And she sounded not angry, but upset and probably scared. And she said, and maybe a little relieved as she began to talk. She said, you know, hey, what are you doing in Kaiser? And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Last night, it was kind of late. I didn't want to call. I thought you might be in bed, but we decided to come back over to visit some friends and go to this party and catch up. I'll be back home later today. And so she said, well, that's great, but, I don't know if you remember, but today's Father's Day. And, you know, we had planned on going to lunch and celebrating Father's Day with your dad. I felt about that big. I still feel bad about it to this day because I was so self-absorbed that I forgot. I didn't forget to buy a present. I didn't forget to buy a card. I forgot it was Father's Day weekend. And I went off to be with my friends instead of, and I knew I was blessed. I knew I had a great dad, a great mom, but I just caring about myself. And so that day, I won't say I figured all things out because I was still a young person who didn't have much figured out at all. But I think that's the day I started to really realize that it's not all about me. It's not all about me. And so how does this tie in to Thanksgiving? How does this pertain to living a thankful life? I want us to look at a couple scriptures. And we did this last week. We had a number of folks come up and look at some scriptures with regard to praising God and being thankful to God. And I'm going to continue down that road this morning because I do love Thanksgiving. So I didn't want to bring a downer to start, but I do want us to, it'll wrap around and maybe make some sense here in a few minutes. So I want to start with Luke chapter 7, and it's actually, I wanted to start with, that's not right. I'm just going to read it. How's that? All right, so if you want to join with me, I'm reading Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And this is a story I think you all are familiar with. This is about Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. And beginning in verse 36, he says, "When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner.' Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to tell you.' 'Tell me, teacher,' he said. 'Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?' Simon replied, 'I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven.' 'You have judged correctly,' Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' The other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" There's a lot there that you can unpack. There's a lot of different points that you can be made. There's a lot to learn. And I just want to focus on a couple of them. Jesus, you know, the scripture doesn't really describe the woman very much. It doesn't go into great detail of who she is. Really, all it says is she's a woman that has a lot, she's a sinner, and she's weeping. So I think that the reason that that's all it says about her is because the point is she is weeping because she is a sinner. Obviously, that's a little conjecture. She could have been weeping for all kinds of reasons. But I think that the fact that the only description about her is that she's a sinner and that she's weeping would lead me to believe that she is recognized her sin. And that's also supported by the fact that that's why she came there. She knew who Jesus was, and she came there because of him. And she came there with a sense of humility. The fact is, her awareness of her sin is what made her different than everyone else that's discussed in this scripture. The verse also that jumped out at me a lot is in verse 47 at the end when he says, "But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." I think you could substitute the word in appreciate where love is and reread that. "But whoever has been forgiven little appreciates little." It's interesting, you know, when we look at sin, we typically, as humans, we kind of rate sin. I don't think that's what God does. I think he sees all sin as equal. But we tend to look at it and say, that person, really, you know, they owe 500 denarii, or maybe a million denarii. They killed this guy, or that we have this hierarchy of sin that we think is probably worse than the sin that we have in our life. I think it's natural to try to justify the way we live, but we tend to say, maybe I owe 50 denarii. I generally am a pretty good guy, but I have a little sin in my life. I struggle. I'm not perfect. But if we have that attitude, are we really recognizing, that we have even a little sin or a lot of sin? We have sin in our life, and without Jesus Christ, we have no hope of salvation. We have no hope of forgiveness. The other point I would make out from this scripture is in verses 41 through 43. And I'll just reread that. And this is where Jesus says, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Which appreciates that gesture more, is what he's asking. And he said, Simon replies, the one with the bigger debt. And Jesus says, you're right. And I agree with that story and the point that Jesus is making there. The point I would like to make today is, when you apply that to our lives, we may think God, that we owe, that if in this instance God is the money lender, and we're one of the folks that have sinned, or we owe him a debt. We may think it's 500 denarii. We may think it's 50 denarii. But the fact of the matter is, we owe God more than we can recognize. He blesses us so much that it's immeasurable. And if we try to sit back and say, we owe God this little bit based on the little bit of sin in life, we don't owe as much as other people. I think we're missing the point and we're missing the boat. The fact is, we owe God everything. And when we recognize that, and I think that's the real differentiation here, is it's the recognition of what God has done for us. The fact is, God's given us everything. Everything that we have in our life, the good, our health, our homes, our family, our monetary blessings, they all come from God. And so if you try to apply this application to us, it could quite simply be God coming back and saying, you don't owe me 50 denarii. You don't owe me 500 denarii. You owe me everything you have. And it's when we recognize that and we have that attitude that I believe that we can truly be thankful for the blessings that God has given us in our life. All right, now let's skip over to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 19. And I think maybe Mark or somebody pulled this scripture up last week, and I think he said something like, and it kind of jumped out at me, there are three kinds of people in the world. There are people that are getting ready to go through a storm, there are people in a storm, and there are people that are coming out of the storm. And I had never heard anybody say that, believe it or not. And I started thinking about it, and it's so, so true. So as I thought about that when I was reading Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, I'm going to read that and just think about this for a minute. So he says here, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was cleansed or healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So these lepers, they're in a storm. They're sitting there, and I mean, Leprosy, I'm not an expert on leprosy, but basically what I've read about it, it's terrible. I mean, not only do you feel bad, you're an outcast. Nobody wants to be around you. You are shunned and cast aside from society. So you have these 10 lepers who are in a storm. They come to Jesus in humility, fervently saying, they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Help us. Our lives are terrible." So what's Jesus do? He says, "I'm going to have pity on him. I'm going to help these people." So he sends them off. He heals them. One person, one of the 10, comes back to say thank you. One of the 10. And it's not like they, you know, the scripture doesn't say that the person that had leprosy worst was the one that came back and said thanks. There's no differentiation between those 10 lepers, other than the fact that there was one that was a foreigner. And the way I read that is, he's probably the least likely of the lepers to come back and say thanks. So there's no difference between the 10. They all humbly are sitting there enduring a storm and beg God, beg Jesus, please have pity on us. So what's he do? He heals them. And one of them comes back with a heart and an attitude of gratitude to Jesus for what he did. You got to wonder why. What was different about the Samaritan, the one leper who came back and said thank you? It's conjecture, but I would say that he was obviously aware that without Jesus' intervention, he had no hope of ever getting out of that storm. You know, we're guilty of doing the same thing as these other 9 lepers. This last month has been hard at our house. Renee's dad, everybody knows, her dad had a stroke this weekend. And we've asked for prayers, and I believe God's blessing him and us. And thankfully, he's on a slow road to recovery. But I mean, Friday night when I get a phone call, I get down on my knees and I pray to God fervently, help us through this storm. And I have a choice as we get through this storm. And sometimes we get through the storm the way we think we want, you know, the way we want to. And sometimes we get through the storm and it ain't the way we want it to turn out. But either way, God helped us get through the storm. And we get to choose whether we're going to go back to him with that same sense of humility and thank him for helping us get through the storm. So, I'm going to wrap up in just a minute, but I want to read Psalm, and I don't know if it's up there or not. It says Luke, but I think that's from Psalms. Sorry for the wrong slides here. I apologize. But this, I want to read from Psalm 145. I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. David says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them." You see, when we have, let me start over. The peace of Christ rules in our hearts. Thankfulness will overflow when we have Jesus living in our hearts. The truth of the matter is, I didn't love my parents any less 30 years ago than I do today. I loved them dearly. I was just focused on me and not all the things that they had done for me. A minute ago, Alex led a song that I love, "How Great Thou Art." I want to take a second. I want to read the last verse of that song. Let's see here. got a lot of stuff up here. Okay. It says, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. I didn't know whenever I started going down this road that this song was going to be led. But as we sang that song this morning, I started thinking, you know what? We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait until Christ comes to shout acclamation. We don't have to wait until we're taken home to bow down in humble adoration. We don't have to wait till Jesus comes back to proclaim how great God is. I believe that we can take that today and we can live our life in a way where we make those proclamations now and we live humbly and thankfully, recognizing all the blessings that God has provided each and every one of us. In just a moment, Alex is going to come up and lead us an invitation song. And it's my prayer that each one of us takes this week and that we have time that we can spend with each other. We have time that we can spend with our families. We have time that we can eat good food. I mean, this is a great time of year. I love Thanksgiving. But I just pray and hope that each one of us can not just do that this week. Don't just focus on our blessings this week. Focus on your blessings each and every day and allow that to change the way we live, because ultimately that's how we'll end up bringing others to Christ. In just a moment, as I mentioned, Alex is going to lead us in a closing song, an invitation song. If you have any needs, if you need prayers or support from anyone here, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Before we sing, I'm going to just say it was a very convicting and amazing lesson, and as he was preaching today, it reminded me of what we talked about in our kids class this morning, and I'll just read this really quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So as we sing, let our souls sing out, knowing that God has truly blessed us, that we are always to be thankful, continually, praying continually, rejoicing continually.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. desire and I long to worship you. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Love one another, for love is of God. He who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Love bears all things. He who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 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 He who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy mind. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love.
Amen.
Closing prayer. Dear Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for your love. You are love, and we're so thankful that you abide in us. And Father, we just want to take this time to thank each and everyone here this morning. We know a lot of folks are traveling this week. Please watch over our members and our friends and family as they travel this week. Father, help us to all have a sense of humility. Help us to recognize that that we need you and that we are truly blessed by you. Help us to remember that each and every day and acknowledge how great you truly are to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.